From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
All right. Hello, everybody. How you doing? What are you having now? You having a protein shake?
Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, my chef.
Okay, we're 1 second in.
Your chef made you a smoothie.
My chef made me a smoothie.
Is your chef your mom, by the way?
No. My mom refuses to take on that role, so I don't respect her.
Rude.
Yeah. but no, my chef made me this smoothie. I'm my chef, by the way, guys. When I say I have a chef, it's me. Thanks to Home Chef. Thanks to Home Chef.
Is that the chef you're talking about?
Yeah, Home Chef is my actual chef.
That was a long play for one of our sponsors.
I know. Yeah. I know. And I do apologize to Home Chef for not giving them the credit they deserve, but
well, I think everybody's been on the edge of their seats since last episode.
That's right.
Wondering about your personal chef. Are they also your chauffeur?
Home Chef has yet to come out with that tab on their app.
Home butler, home chauffeur. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I have everything, guys. Right. I got it.
So your Rolls Royce drives itself.
Yes. Yes. But my Rolls Royce doors don't actually open the way traditional Rolls Royce doors open, because it's just the old school Bronco.
It's just like not a Rolls Royce.
Not a Rolls Royce. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
cool.
Well, here we are. Guys, we're talking about episode 112, Landlord. Okay, folks. This week, we're reviewing the episode 112. The episode is 112, Landlord. Landlord. Now, Schmidt wants to do it with his boss in a nasty way. You guys, a very disgusting way. But the signals are very blurry, and he's not sure how to initiate. Luckily, Cece tells him to just do it already. She puts that battery in his backpack and sends him on his way. So Schmidt slides across a car hood in a dramatic fashion and kisses the hell out of his boss. Was it creepy and aggressive? You're damn right it was. It was borderline offensive. Unfortunately, security thinks the same thing that I'm thinking, and they think she's being attacked. Meanwhile, the stress of living together reveals the differences between how Jess and Nick view the world. You see, Jess treats everyone with kindness and expects their inner kindness to be revealed in turn. Nick, y'all know Nick, y'all. Y'all know how Nick gets down. He distrusts everyone, and he a mean something-something, and he matches whatever aggression he is met with. That's how he sees the world. You see, Jess is so kind, she literally disarms an angry driver fighting Nick for a parking spot. Now, she is feeling herself, y'all. She is feeling high off her own supply. Jess decides it's time to ask the landlord to make repairs around the apartment, despite the boys' insistence to just leave it alone. You see, the boys know the landlord, and they know exactly what's in store. Let's meet Remy, y'all. I love this dude. Remy is the landlord who lives in the basement and handcrafts shivs. If you don't know what a shiv is, Google it. And that about sums up the landlord. You see, his scary demeanor can't deter Jess's eternal optimism. Unfortunately, she reveals way too much. And now Remy knows there are one too many roommates living in 4D. The guys have a plan, but despite Schmidt's incredible accent, I mean, it was superb. It failed spectacularly. Jess's kindness theory might be correct because Remy agrees to let them stay if they paint over the erotica in Winston's room. He even agrees to make some repairs. Fun fact, that erotica that was in Winston's room is now in Lamorne's garage. I stare at it every day. But Nick is on to Remy. You see, he sees the way he makes excuses to touch her and stay in the apartment and to guide her. It's a little suspicious. Nick is kind of a detective, y'all. He don't just write about it, he be about it. And he don't like it one bit. But Remy turns out to be a good listener, and the two commiserate over their recent heartbreak. Perhaps it was the hug Nick gave him. So warm, such a gentle embrace. But after dinner, Remy strips down to his boxers and initiates a... I can't even say it, it's so freaky. Remy tries to initiate a threesome. Now both Nick and Jess feel they were right about Remy and enter a game of sex chicken. Show of hands, how many of y'all have ever played sex chicken? I know I have not. Curiously, it's only when Remy suggests Nick and Jess kiss that Jess backs out of the agreement. I didn't see that coming. Ba-dum-psh. In the end, Jess requests that she know when a shenanigans is going down so she can be a part of it. They'll just have to rely on Nick's fixes from now on. Now let's jump into the show. This episode directed
Peyton
by...
Peyton Reed, amazing director.
Peyton Reed, written by
Josh
Malmuth.
Josh and Peyton.
Friend of mine.
Killer.
Yes, written by Josh Malmuth. I love this episode. It's so weird.
When I knew we were doing this episode, my body instantly just started to cringe. And I haven't watched it since it aired, but it's like that great, uncomfortable, weird comedy where you're like, it walks it right up to the line of where I feel comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this episode is I like, it states immediately, the cold open is very different from most cold opens on the show. It doesn't start with everybody running into the living room. It starts with Jess and Nick are fighting with someone for a parking spot, and then guy pulls out a gun, and Nick's freaking out, and Jess kind of does, you know, some gesturing and gesticulating, and the guy calms down, puts away his gun, and gives them the parking spot, and so it starts this kind of argument. It's kind of the first point for Jess in the argument: are people inherently good or are people inherently bad? And so Jess believes people are inherently good. Nick believes people are inherently bad. And they're both really hell-bent on proving to each other that each one of them is the right one.
Okay, and that's how we've got to go around the circle right now. And which do you believe?
Oh, I believe people are inherently good.
Lamorne?
I think people are born demons. People are inherently good. I think they're good. You know, I think sometimes certain things could be a learned behavior, you know?
And people make bad decisions.
Yeah.
My kids actually say it. They say, there are no bad guys. There are just good guys making bad choices, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. Because a lot of bad guys, they don't think they're doing, they're justified in their actions. They don't,
right.
you know, look at every superhero villain.
They have circumstances. Yeah.
Yeah. Every superhero villain believes they're doing the right thing.
I feel like I believe everyone is inherently good, but I operate with the suspicious eye on people like they are inherently bad.
Okay. The evil, we call it the evil eye.
Where I'm just like, maybe you in the 1%. Maybe all y'all in the 1%. All right. That's a good temperature check as we dive into this episode. And also that cold open has one of my favorite lines because when the guy puts his gun away and gives up the parking spot, Nick Miller says, "You just out crazy the crazy." That's how his read on the situation is. It's not like, wow, you disarmed him by being like obviously nice in some way. And he could see that. He's just like, you're crazier than a man with a gun trying to get a parking spot. That's his point of view.
That's what you do.
It's just, you act crazy.
When somebody, if somebody's trying to rob you, if somebody's attacking you, you act sick.
That is some legit advice that people give you. That like is, if someone runs up to you on the
Martin
street.
Bit, actually. Yeah.
Is it really? Get crazier than them?
Yeah, it's an old
them?
Like Steve Martin stand-up bit that if you're walking through a bad neighborhood, just like act totally crazy, like walk crazy, like act crazy, and then no one will mess with you because they'll be like, that guy's crazy.
Oh yeah,
don't mess with him.
Good advice. That's Nick Miller's read on the situation. Is Justice goes bonkers, and she's like, "No, I'm just I'm being nice and just apologizing for you being rude."
Yeah, so in this episode, Schmidt believes. I mean, he thinks everyone is out to get him. The delivery guy. The
that's the funniest one. Oh, I have to decline.
Nick, sorry, Schmidt. I have a package for Schmidt. I'm gonna have to decline.
Right. Slams the door.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry, but I have to do it. Please duck. And watch your foreheads, because here comes another useless gem that I'm about to drop.
Oh, okay.
Fold your bangs over, because this could scar you.
Okay.
So, in this particular storyline, you know, again, there's a montage of different people that he thinks are flirting with him. There's a woman getting on the elevator. She goes, "Three, please." As the door closes, you know, it was that whole moment between those two on the elevator. He's yet another person he thinks is trying to flirt with him. Funny story, that actress, her name is Alex Lynn Ward. Alex, phenomenal actor, was coaching me for all of my auditions for New Girl.
Oh, what? My God.
Coach me. In fact, when I got the call that I got the part, her and I were both driving away from the lot. Leaving the audition when I got the phone call.
Wow. Get so out cool. of town.
It's so dope. So dope. And I forgot about it until I watched the episode and I was like, oh, damn, that's Alex. So shout out to Alex Lynn Ward.
Is she working as an acting coach still?
No, she's an actor, but she was just helping me. She was just coaching me. Super.
Yeah.
In fact, she was right out of college. And I think that's why she was right out of theater school. And that's why she would coach people, because she kind of had all the basics and old school stuff that you forget down.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
And she just moved to LA and it was like a job almost. We would, during pilot season, would read everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Alex Lynn Ward, y'all. Anyway, that was my useless gem. You can fold your bangs back up.
I love
have,
it. My
a
bangs
very
are back.
Useful gem.
Tell me.
Information. So I sent a little text-a-roo to Josh Malmuth, who wrote this incredibly funny episode, and said, you have any info that we can share with our listeners? And this is what he wrote. And maybe you guys are familiar with this, but
did you send it to Daniel? Daniel can play it on the...
Oh, no, it's a text.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Oh, it's a text. Okay.
I bet you guys might know about it, but I did not know about it.
I knew about
this. So, he says, well, I don't know if you guys can talk about it, but here we go. We're going to talk about it.
Ooh, what is it? Controversy.
The whole Bruce Willis ordeal.
Yep.
What?
Where his people said he, quote, wanted to do the show, end of quote. And we waited and waited and never heard anything. And he says, I'm sure no one ever told him about it. And I said, wait a second. So he could have been the landlord? And he said, yep. And I go, right next to Nakatomi Tower?
That's where we filmed.
That's right, because we filmed our the Fox lot was right next to the building that was in the Die Hard movies.
That's right. And he said, you didn't know about this? It was a whole thing. They, like,
I remember
us-
this now. You're telling now that you're saying it. I remember they were saying that Bruce Willis was going to maybe play the landlord, like the, right. You know.
So he was before. In apparently, and then nothing happened. And so then they just waited and waited and walked it up as close to the line as they could. And then Brucey didn't show.
That's so, right, because they, yes.
We moved our days around. We had to shift the schedule. I remember
that's
that.
That's right. And so you're saying Prince showed up, but Bruce didn't?
You girl, that's exactly what I said back. I was like, so Prince showed up?
Prince showed up.
The same thought. This is why we're friends, girl. I said, Prince could show up? Taylor?
Oh, yeah, Taylor Swift and Prince could show up for our show, but Bruce Willis couldn't.
You know.
Damn shame.
But you know what? I worked. I actually love Bruce Willis. He was lovely to me. I worked with him on a movie called Rock the Casbah. Mm-hmm. And he was so nice. I loved him. He was really fun to work with. So he probably just it was probably a scheduling conflict or something. And then that never got back to us.
Right. Or maybe he never knew and never agreed. And this
maybe
whole
he never
thing
knew.
Is
I
in
think
New
there's
Girl
sometimes so
mythology.
Many people. I think there's sometimes so many representatives, like when you have a person that's really famous, that something could get lost in translation and you could just, something, you know, might not get communicated. And then, you know.
Bruce, if you're out there, you got to clean it up. We got to know the real story. What happened?
We want to know the real story.
You got to come on the podcast. Also, I will say this though, Jeff Kober, who we did get for Landlord. Phenomenal.
He was fantastic. He was so great.
It
was meant for him. Yeah. And he really captured it, because when I when you Jess first goes down to his office, you're like, ooh, he's kind of scary. And then the way he warms up feels so genuine. Like when he starts like warming up and like kind of opening up to Jess, it does feel like the creepy guy who all of a sudden feels comfortable and is.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. He opens up to you, right? What's going on in this moment? In this moment,
I think he's misreading Jess's kindness.
Right, is he really the creepy guy, or is he just misreading the whole situation?
I think he's a loner, so he comes off as creepy. And that Jess, I mean, in a way, like just being devil's advocate, Jess is being kind of manipulative because she wants him to fix stuff in the apartment. And she's like, in a way, it's what we talked about in the Jess and Julia episode, that Julia is perceiving that Jess is doing certain things to be manipulative, which I think Jess is genuinely nice. But in this episode, she's kind of like, well, I'm going to be nice to him. But she is kind of trying to get something from him. She's, you know, and he takes that as, you know, he misreads that as, oh, she's interested in me.
Anytime a woman asks me to come over and fix her pipes, anytime a woman says, can you come, you know, fix my water cooler, which happens all the time. Let me tell you something. I get ideas.
Well, you get ideas because you can't fix a water cooler, probably.
Right. So I'm like, why is she calling me? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't even know what a water cooler is.
I mean, that's how the Schmidt storyline and the Remy storyline are kind of intertwined, right? Just right. Misreading the signs of what's going on and hoping it is the way you want it to be, which is that these cute women are into you.
And Nick Miller. Mm-hmm. He thinks that they're going to have a threesome with him.
That's right. So that's where this idea that he's misreading your signs. He misreads your signs so much And you guys are being so catty to each other to such a degree. Mm-hmm. And there's such a miscommunication happening that the three of you end up in some sort of weird form.
A game of threesome chicken is what I kept thinking.
That's exactly what it is. Threesome chicken.
Yeah.
It's a great, great way to describe it. Threesome chicken.
Remy says, I've never had a threesome before. Let's do this. And that Jess and Nick are so resolute in proving the other one wrong that they both start playing this game of threesome chicken where they both start committing.
Oh, yeah. Super committing.
And do a weird dance.
So, you know, and I did find this interesting. You know, Nick, and I'm not sure if this is an episode out of order type of situation, but Nick, he kissed you.
No.
Oh, that's...
He tries to.
And I that's where I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes really close to being the first Jess and Nick kiss.
But but technically, because Julia was right before him, the episode before, was he cheating?
That's true. The fact that he would be down for like a threesome when we just agreed to be exclusive to another woman. He has a girlfriend, technically.
Well, no, again, they're both so committed to proving each other wrong, they can't see any other, you know. Again, I think this is where New Girl delightfully uses the character's flaws to make the stories work, you know?
That's going to be my excuse. That's going
to
be my excuse.
I was about to say, you see that play on real life. Baby, 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 baby. I was about to have a threesome, but it was a bit,
it was a bit, baby.
It was a character flaw bit.
Super committed.
There's a difference. There's a difference.
I'm not cheating on you, babe. I'm not.
No, obviously, he's wrong. He's wrong, obviously. But I think in this case that they both are not thinking about anything other than proving the other one wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't be...
Yeah, I feel like he's not, is to play devil's advocate, but Nick Miller for a second, I feel like he was never going to cheat because he thought for sure she's going to bail.
Jess is going to back down.
I'm not actually going to do this. But
yes. And she does. She does back down.
Yeah, right at the last second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, it's interesting.
He does lean in, though. I'm going to say.
He leans in and it looks for real. It really does.
If Julia saw that, I think she'd be like, doesn't matter if you consummated the kiss or not.
She'd be out.
Leaned.
It was not okay.
Can we talk about a couple of things about his aesthetic and dynamic when trying to set up this threesome? Remy, the landlord. When you guys are sitting down at the table drinking his moonshine or basement hooch or whatever you would call it.
Basement hooch.
It's
a good band.
His shirt. Have you guys noticed his shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Deborah put him in a Versace silk. I don't know what that thing was. But when I saw it, I said, my God, this man looks like a straight up Miami drug dealer. I was like, it was a very interesting choice for a man who lives in his basement. I said, where did he get this shirt from? And then when he goes in the room, he puts on the music. I mean, oh my God. What I don't know about you guys. I looked up that song, and it was called "Send Me on My Way" by Rusted Root.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's Rusted Root, which is like a, it's kind of like got a little hippie vibe, kind of.
And when I played it at first, I was like, "That's an interesting choice for a song," but I just kept listening to it. I was like, I was legit going, I can see this. I can see this. I can see the song playing in the background of every threesome around America. I can see.
Yeah, it's kind of a playful, non-sexual sounding song to start a threesome.
It's funny that you have to, like, when you put a show together, go, does he wear for a threesome? What song choice do you want for this threesome?
What really was on his shirt, world, by the way? I couldn't really see.
It was a multicolored long sleeve, dress shirt, like a very dressy,
brave shirt,
very brave, very gaudy,
very.
That's why I said Versace.
I just thought it was like Versace. It had some kind of pattern on it, and I was like, "What was that pattern?" Because I either don't remember it because I watched it late last night. And by late, I mean 9 o'clock.
It was so.
Because I'm a mom, and I. I get tired early.
I watched it last week in preparation.
Oh, good for you. Good memory.
I'm kidding.
What do you guys think? Is Nick the most negative person you know? Character you know?
I feel like I'm much more Nick leaning than Jess leaning in this episode. Like when I watched Remy, like tin cup Jess.
Yeah, you know, I would be like, very
let
much
me help
out
you with the door.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I think of
okay,
myself
bro.
As an optimist who sees the best in people. And that point, I'd be like,
yeah, no,
I'd
no,
be
no.
very much not committing to that anymore. I'd
we
be
need
like,
the
let's
COVID
get
rules.
Remy
I
out
need
of
my
here.
6 feet. Back it up. You can shout your instruction, like, don't come up and like put your body behind me.
I like my physical space.
That's right.
But I think both of you are misreading the situation. Remy wasn't just hitting on Jess. He was hitting on Nick as well.
Nick and you're right. You're right.
So he said what he says. I think it was very, very clear. It was very, very clear in the beginning.
But that's what I love so much is the whole time Nick is openly saying, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight this man. I'm going to come for you. I know what you're trying to do to my girl here. I got it. And not realizing that Remy's just finding him more and more attractive.
Yeah, Remy's coming for him too. He's like, please come
or
for me.
Or Remy is picking up that Nick and Jess have some kind of a connection.
Right.
And he's like, all right, if that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do.
Ah. The weirdest part of the whole thing, and this is where my skin starts to crawl because I get really uncomfortable with things like this on TV, where he was like, well, I'm going to let you guys kick it off.
I was
like, no!
Wait, no, the thing that sends chills up my spine is when he says, yeah, Nick, dip your toe.
Dip your toe.
That was such a good read. I love it so much. Nick, dip your toe.
I like it.
It's like a serial killer. I do believe serial killers are inherently bad. There you go.
That's where you draw the line.
I draw the line at you, serial killers.
That's right. That's right. Unless they're Dexter. Because if you're Dexter,
right, you're like the Robin Hood of
serial killers. You're killing, you know, bad people. You're Batman. Mm-hmm. Dexter is Batman of serial killers. Mm-hmm. Let's go back.
By the way, do you think that movie The Batman stole it from our show? Because I was like, the whole joke in that Batman, you know, like later years from now, we'll probably be doing that Batman episode. I can't remember what season it was,
Batman
3
Mobile.
Or 4.
Batman.
Yeah, Batman Mobile. It's like, I'm the Batman. And we kept making jokes that he kept seeing the Batman. And now there's a movie called The Batman out.
I think that's a direct linear thing.
We started it.
Matt, is the, yeah.
Post-bot check.
For all the fans out there, do your research.
Eating potatoes.
Do your research, because we do believe that they stole it from us. If you guys have a problem with it, like and subscribe.
Send us cold hard cash.
Speaking of cold hard cash, let's throw to some commercials, and we come back. Let's talk about Schmidt and asking the smooch.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
We are black. If you're just tuning in.
By the way, I found a present you gave me that I hadn't. I never drank the bottle of White Girl Rosé that you gave me, Lorne. I found it in. But I'm gonna have to do that. So thanks for that.
How long ago was that?
That was that. My wrap gift.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure it's aged
for the final season. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
I do like rosé. You're like, I found this. It was perfect for you.
I think it was a play on words.
It's got your race. It's got your great.
It's perfect. It's got everything.
Racy
it defines me. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Schmidt. We're going to talk about Schmidt because I think this is something that people struggle with and have talked about through time, the asking to kiss, right? Or, you know, asking permission to do
right.
Things.
This was a long time ago that we made this show.
Yeah. Sexy, unsexy, the murky.
Asking for permission is murky.
I think it's murky because obviously consent is incredibly important, but then, you know, it as evidenced in this episode, that's what his, you know, hookup wanted.
Right.
Yeah, the clear nonverbal cues is what this all rides on.
Yes. And are there, can there be a clear nonverbal cue other than like, you know, actual sign language that's like, you know, American Sign Language or something?
get out of it. I'm a master at conquering that scenario.
Okay,
break it down. Know what I do?
Mm. You send your chef in to ask?
Pretty much. It's called a chef's kiss. No.
And then if she says, ooh, I wish I was that little hand, making that gesture, and then you know,
just in the room, and like, kissing your fingertips, and she's like,
and then she goes, "I wish I was your hand right now."
No, I just do it and blame it on my Italian upbringing. this is what we do. No,
are you from Italy, Lamar?
Now I am to get out of jail. No, I no.
Okay, so explain it. What do you do?
So what? I just don't kiss.
Oh.
What?
What do you do?
There is no, like, you know, like people have like first date kisses. I just don't do it. I just don't do it. Because the only time that I know I am ready to make out with someone, it's to the point where we want to do other things already. So the kiss is just, let's get this out of the way.
So you like sitting in the stands and all of a sudden you're running all the bases.
Exactly. You play it. It's a long game. It's a long game.
Okay.
It's a long game.
Would you like to go in my bedroom? Yeah. Would you like to sit on my bed?
The things you need permission to do. The kiss is like, at that point, you're like, okay, let's just get that part out of the way.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I will say this, growing up in Cyprus, I watched these Greek guys have the most incredible game of all time.
Okay.
And the way they did it was they were such gentlemen, so romantic, and such gentlemen all the time and so sweet. Like the last thing they wanted to do was physical. They were there because they loved you, your heart. They wanted to get to know you. And they're all like leaned in and like the soft whisper of how they spoke when you're telling the story of your childhood. That these women, I would watch them because they were just like, at what point is this man going to finally kiss me? Like they were just like dying for it. They were the ones that would initiate physically because these guys were playing this incredible game of emotional investment. And that kind of took out this question of the guy then kind of pushing the physicalness. Then the girl would be like, no, thank you. Or I'm not ready. Or I don't want that. And it was the woman that would lead it.
Yeah. That's why I stay away from Greek men. John Stamos.
The game's too good.
You would just want to kiss him.
The way she's describing it, I'm like, whoa.
Can I tell you the greatest piece of game I ever saw a guy run a girl? It was amazing. It was at a bar, and she was talking. He's the bartender, Greek bartender. She was some tourist from somewhere,
Jamaica.
And she was sitting there and talking. She's nervous. He was very handsome bartender, and she was talking whatever, and knocked her drink over. Okay. And he, without breaking eye contact or conversation, right, didn't even acknowledge the drink over, keeps talking, reaches down. There's like a bucket of ice, like under the bar, reaches down, keeps talking, grabs a couple of cubes of ice, reaches over, puts them on her hand to kind of, you know, why, because it's sticky from the cocktail knocking over, you know, to kind of like clean her hand. And then there's a towel, dries it, keeps talking, doesn't break. Just keeps going. And she's sitting there as this man like helps clean her like sticky hands and wipes down the bar, puts her drink up, refills it. Boom. All in like 45 seconds. This woman was literally running to the bedroom.
This fun
guys,
fact, guys.
There's
about
a lot you
gem.
Can learn from Greek men.
I'm about to drop this gem on you guys. That woman, her name was Hannah Simone.
No, it was not. It was not. I thought you were saying it was Lamorne
Morris.
Their
whole conversation? Hannah, you watched their whole interaction.
No, I worked at the bar. But here was the thing that was amazing. I remember the first time I watched it, because that woman changed. Because she, you know, how she was looking at him, because she could have been embarrassed or whatever, but she was fully seduced. But here's the thing that was crazy. So the tourists would come and they're on a 3-day holiday, 4-day holiday. They go back. Right? And they're like, oh my God, he was amazing. Stavros, I love him so much. Leave. Next day, you know, another batch of Swedish tourists show up. Gorgeous women show up, sit at the bar. Run the same game. Run the same game every single time. And then I was like, oh, the ice cube and the towel again.
Well, you know, those Swedish tourists were showing up to Cyprus looking for a Greek bartender.
That's also right. That's also
that they were
exactly
like,
right.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh. Everybody had their fling. Anyway, I'm just saying it was really interesting that it took out the situation that Schmidt is in, which is like, I want to kiss her. Should I ask? I want to be respectful. If your game is tight enough, you can dodge this whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah. You just have to be a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. You just gotta be a gentleman.
Bottom line, be a gentleman.
That's right.
So a little tidbit about it, there's a moment where Remy comes in. We're rewinding a little bit. Remy comes in the loft, and he sees another person lives there.
An extra person is in the loft,
which is against the rules, against the contract. Ingram Baterski. He realizes, so he goes into the closet and he sees this big mural, this big weird.
Oh, that was LOL moment.
My God, it was like a space sex orgy with like a.
It's a intergalactic sexual tea party.
Yes, that's what.
That's what Schmidt called it.
Fun fact.
I laughed.
I have that in my house.
What?
Do you?
I have that painting in my
garage.
It
wasn't painted on the wall?
There was, when in the closet originally, it was a big board that looked like it was a part of the wall. But then they redid it to make it my entire background, my entire wall.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When you turn the light off, it says Winston sucks. But the original, the OG piece that was in the closet, I stole that.
You stole it or was given to you? You just legit stole it.
I took it. It was the last day of set. There was a bunch of stuff laying around. And I asked one of the transport guys if he could drive it over to my house. Because my butler wasn't working. My chauffeur wasn't working at the time. So one of the transport guys.
And where is it in your house now?
It's like, in my garage.
Yeah, that's a good place for it.
As soon as you pull up, space butt. Right there. But space ass everywhere.
So when
that's
we were describing,
your daughter's gonna grow up with it, that
she's not allowed in the
being
garage.
The thing she that's sees right. as you drive up into the garage
she's
after
not allowed.
School, like as she gets older, she'll
you
be
should
like,
auction that off.
I am going to. Yeah. I'm going to on this podcast. Maybe that's something we'll do. So we'll pick a charity, and then I'll auction it off. Yeah, for sure. But going back, to Schmidt.
I will just say something super funny quickly about what Schmidt does. It's one of my favorite things in real life when people do. Because Cece says, there's nothing less sexy than a guy asking to kiss you. When people say like statements like that, when you're like, really? Nothing less sexy? And you can go through a list of like, he says the funniest. I feel like he went through so many alts. I remember sitting there and he had to say some of the craziest, unsexy, disgusting things in that list. And I think like four made the show. But that was like a real taste for me of the level of alts and how weird and funny and dark our writers could go. But I also love that in real life when people kind of go like, really? You're making this huge statement. Sounds a little dramatic. Let's unpack that. Let's walk that road. I love that moment in this episode.
Someone posed the question, how fortunate are we that this wasn't Nick and Jess's first kiss?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. We are super fortunate. That wouldn't have been very romantic. And no. Jess and Nick's first kiss, I think, was a pretty epic episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but you felt their tension, like the sexual tension in this episode perfectly, where you kind of were like, ooh, are they really actually going to do it? All of us became Remy. We all got creepy with it. We exposed
everybody
our
was
Remy's.
In on the-
well, like,
everyone
I guess
was in on the-
we're going to all sit back and watch them get started. I guess that's what
maybe
we're
Remy
all
just
doing.
Wanted them to get together and he felt like that was the only way he could.
What if he's just Cupid?
What if he's just trying to play Cupid?
What if that was it? What if we do a rewind, right? And then every time there's a situation between Nick and Jess, we go down to the basement and we see Remy going, yes, my plan worked.
That's right.
That was Remy's plan all along.
That would have been a hell of a finale.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
All right, guys, welcome to True American, where the rules change weekly, or actually they didn't really change from last week, but you leave more confused than when you showed up.
True American.
This week, we are answering listener letters again because there were so many great questions last week. That is right. It's time to open Ben Franklin's letter bag.
Birthday buddy.
Okay. This first one is from Jelly Bean Jess.
Birth name? I think that's her birth
name. That's someone's name. Don't make fun of it. Don't laugh. Jelly Bean Jess wants to know, what are the biggest differences and similarities between your characters and yourselves in real life? That's a big question, Jelly Bean Jess.
Okay, we can do one and one. I would say my biggest similarity is that I am a true ride or die friend. Like, I got you.
That's no matter true. What.
I want to be your first call. Doesn't matter, 3 a.m. If you hate him, I hate him. Yes. You like him, I like him. Nice. I got you. Biggest difference? This episode kind of made me look and see is that Cece walks in and I think he calls her out on it. He's like, shouldn't you be like at a, you know, some sort of like baccarat table, like with James Bond or something, dressed to the nines with the world's tiniest purse. Like it could hold like a piece of gum. And nothing could be further from the truth as I sit here in my sweatpants and my unicorn t-shirt with my hair tied up in a top knot.
Hannah Simone is a real bag lady, yo. She's a bag lady. Yeah, bunch of cats.
You definitely don't dress like Cece.
No.
No.
You're more like, you're not going to wear like high heels and bodycon dresses like every day.
No, thank you. No. I got like a hippie heart. That's not my.
Yeah, you wear more like flowing florals, I would say.
All right, that's my biggest similarity, biggest difference.
For me, biggest similarity, it would probably be how weird he can be. yeah, I could be weird at times. You know what I mean? Not in a creepy way, just weird. Just like,
that's so surprising to us.
You know, just very left of center. Not you know, I don't walk the beaten path. I take the road less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And so the thing that is different, that was a similarity. The thing that I probably say is that I vary from Winston. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know. I was
the cat the thing. Can we just talk about the cat thing?
You hate different. Cats.
That's a big, that's on the nose though. I think everybody knows that about me. I definitely hate cats. I definitely hate cats. I don't, but I will say it's interesting when you're on the show for so long, part of your real life, you start blending in with the character a little bit. Yeah. I definitely have Winston isms in my life sometimes that I'll find myself doing. And I go, I got that from the show. Like I'll say certain things and I go, Zoe, you said something. I forget which episode. And I watched an episode of Woke where I'm saying a line, but I vary it, and it's the exact same way you delivered. I think that's not even a little bit true. I don't remember where you said that in, but I know that.
Oh,
came
yeah,
from,
that's not even a little bit true. Yeah, I remember that. It's in one of these first episodes.
Yeah, and I remember saying that when somebody said, "Oh, Keith Knight, my character plays his name is Keith Knight." You go, oh, Keith Knight, hey, he doesn't support local artists, and I go, "That's not even a little bit true." I just said it.
Right. And
very normally, but I know I didn't make that up. It came from somewhere. It came from on the show.
You know, again, there are things that blend in. And when it's like spending time with friends that you all have like inside jokes where you all say like the same thing, you know, and then it ends up kind of, everybody ends up saying the same, using the same kind of language that's funny to each other. I think we all had bits that would repeat and end up, you know, different people would say them, and then lines that were funny and made us laugh, I mean, definitely end up in the back of your head somewhere sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, I think I'm optimistic like Jess. And that's, we are similar like that. We do have some interests that are shared. I would say like a lot of Jess's clothes, like especially at the time, you know, it's like my style, you know, is always somewhat the same, but then, you know, it's like you have different things that you kind of go through phases of liking certain types of silhouettes and things like that. And definitely my own style kind of got filtered into Jess a lot. But where we're different, I think I'm a little bit, not quite as guileless as Jess, maybe, but there's a lot of me in her for sure. And, yeah. I mean, again, you play a character for 7 years. There's going to be parts of you in the character.
Right.
Okay. So this one is from Hayden, who's wondering, what do the members of the Loft use the money from the douchebag jar for? That's an interesting question. I don't know if we ever covered that.
Because there's real money in that jar. Like, as in, it wasn't like there was 20 bucks kind of alluded to be in that jar, because I mean, we have the story of the 50.
Well, it's, you know, over years. Yeah.
There would have been a lot of money. $7.2 million.
Schmidt was on a roll.
Yeah.
They used it to buy a Rolls Royce
out of Fort Bronco.
Chauffeur Lamar.
That actually would have been a fun episode for them to be like, we're going to use the cash for something.
Yeah, that would have been.
What I want to say worthy. We did. I just don't remember.
Missed opportunity. Or it happened and we don't remember.
That's right.
That's true. We might find out ourselves.
We're not really sure. So we'll get back to you, Hayden. This one's from Caitlin R. This is an interesting question. Are you team Nick or Sam for Jess?
Come on.
Come on now.
Okay, I'm on, team Nick, because that's what the show, you know, part of what the show was like getting certain characters together. And it was, you know, and Nick and Jess had to end up together. That said, and I love that, you know, I love the couple. I loved every minute of, you know, working with Jake and creating, you know, that dynamic. But that said, I love David Walton and I would totally watch that show, Sam and Jess. I would 100% watch that show. I love Dr. Sam. Thought it was he was a great character. And he was also like, you know, to make that, you know, to make it all work, he had to be a formidable opponent for Nick. You know, there had to be a case for Sam.
Right.
And so that's why I do think that, you know, it worked that he was such a good, he was good for Jess too, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I mean,
Team Nick, right?
You gotta be
Nick Miller, Nick Miller.
You gotta be Team Nick. I mean, Dr. Sam was cool though. I mean, I gave him a bird shirt, and Winston gave him a bird shirt, and I think that was fun. Nick would never wear one of his bird shirts.
That was one of those like on paper things, right? Like on paper, Dr. Sam is like such a perfect fit for Jess. On paper, for most people, he was like a perfect fit and this great guy. And I think that's what was so great about this show is that so much of who we're drawn to and who we choose in our life, it's just heart led. You know, it doesn't always make the most sense, but you can't deny it.
Okay.
And that's the Nick Jess thing. They just couldn't deny it. Meant to be.
Wow. Look at that.
Did you know?
Lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like and subscribe.
Please do. Please do.
We love you.
Also, thanks to Josh Melmoth for illuminating the Bruce Willis situation. And Bruce, if you're out there, let us know what happened.
It's a great tidbit. It's a great tidbit.
That's right. That's
yeah. Right.
I wonder if we could get Bruce Willis to actually
send a little voice note of why he didn't want to show up.
No, he's going to tell us. Just like
via a representative, make a comment.
We'll get Justin Long's good friends with Bruce Willis. We'll get him to do it.
We'll get
is
there.
He?
Yeah, they did Die Hard together.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
That's right.
Then a text.
Is that
Justin.
Live Free or Die Hard?
Yeah.
Because I did an indie called Live Free or Die. So I remember, I always remember the name of that one because I'm like, oh, I did a movie that was just one word off from this. Thank you guys for tuning in. We miss you already.
We love you.
See you next week.
We love you.
Come over
we'll
and kick it.
Hear us next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.